Just a warning, this will probably be the dumbest thing you will ever hear in your entire life. You will never get this time back, and you will probably regret listening to this right after you've listened to it. So consider yourself warned. This is Drop the Gloves.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Hey.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
When he started throwing buffet trays around and vandalizing the buffet and attacking the chef, I realized something wasn't right.
And we're back. Episode number 2. Congratulations, boys. We made it all the way here.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome to actually make it this far. And the first one went pretty well, so this is going to be awesome.
Of course, nobody tells us we can't keep doing it, so.
Yeah, it's true. We're not going to fire each other or anything.
Exactly. It's on the internet, so no one can stop us.
Episode number 2 of Drop the Gloves. Lineup for today. Leading things. Oh, we got to finish off last week's topic. We had all-time goal-scoring tough guys.
Yeah, I was going with, when I said Wayne Gretzky of tough guys, I meant like the best tough guy out there. But if we're going to go goal-scoring tough guys, it's kind of a hard category to name people under because there's power forwards and there's tough guys. Power forwards fight and there's tough guys. If we're going to go goal-scoring tough guy, I don't know, Dave Semenko?
I would actually give it to Dale Hunter because Dale Hunter is a guy who scored over 300 goals and well over 3,500 penalty minutes. He's number 2 all times behind Tiger Williams, and he scored over 300 goals, and he reached like 70 points plenty of times with Quebec and Washington, and really, he was a tough guy, best fighter probably of his time, and also a goal scorer as well, so Dale Hunter's got my vote on that one.
Yeah, but they don't call it the Hunter hat trick.
No, they don't. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Howe. Good. I never thought of Gordy.
He was a fighter, and people forget that he was a fighter, and there's a reason it's called the Gordy Howe hat trick, is because of the fact that he was. In his time, man, he'd take on anyone. Didn't care.
See, I'd take Gordy Howe over anybody else. I mean, like, even Semenko, or you bring up Bob Probert. Yeah, of course they had some good goal-scoring years. I don't know. One was on a wing with Yzerman, and the other one was on a wing with Gretzky. I could score 20 to 30 playing with Gretzky.
It's true. He just parked behind the net and passed in front to you.
Dale Hunter never had those kind of offensive players around him, though. That's something that impresses me. And plus, I mean, you got to give a lot of respect to Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey, but I seen Dale Hunter play a lot. Who could ever forget when he KO'd Pierre Turgeon there and knocking him out, getting a 21-game suspension for it. But still, you're talking about a guy who was a consistent 20-goal scorer and one of the most feared guys of his time as well, if not the most.
I think the best thing about this topic was actually doing some research into those old fighters and seeing stuff that on YouTube that I didn't even think was even out there anymore. Because, you know, this stuff was filmed when computers weren't even around. So
yeah, it's true.
It's been transferred from someone's, you know, old V8 camera onto 8mm camera onto YouTube. So it was pretty fun exercise anyway.
Yeah, it was.
Today's lineup, though. Here we go. Starting things off, I have this one, first one out of the hat, All-Star Games, Pro Bowls, yay, nay. This one was mine.
All right, I'm going to have to go with, there's a couple of them I do like, and I'm going to say that yay to baseball and basketball because those are fun All-Star Games. I love the Home Run Derby as well. I love the dunk competition. As far as Pro Bowl goes, absolutely not. I think it's glorified touch football, which is embarrassing to watch, especially after you get to see some good NFL action. And also, as well, the hockey All-Star Game, well, I didn't have a chance to watch it yesterday because I was with the Barons. Still, I'm not a fan of them. I heard yesterday's game was good, but I do like skill competitions. So, yes to basketball and baseball, no to football and hockey.
I'm with you on that. I watched it yesterday. I watched the NHL All-Star Game yesterday. And for a change, I was into it, but I think I was into it because you had a chance to hear the guys talk. I mean, they had Stahl mic'd, they had Tim Thomas mic'd. And I think that's the part that I really enjoyed about it. But the game itself, what was the score? Like 11-10 or something? I mean,
something along those lines.
There's no hitting. There's nothing
like
that.
I'm the same way about being mic'd up. When they did 24-7 for the Caps and Pens, I think they should do that for more teams and through the whole season.
Yeah.
I know the Oilers have one oil change. Kind of sort of the same thing. But I mean, when 24-7 was out, they actually had referees mic'd up and everything. So, I mean, you got a sense of the game behind the scenes. And I'd really like to see them do that for the entire year as opposed to just, you know, a little bit. As far as All-Star Games go, the Pro Bowl is just junk. Like Trent said, it's just touch football.
You can't blitz, can you?
No, I don't think you're allowed to blitz altogether. And might as well ban tackling. Why not put little red flags that you can pull out of them, too?
That's true. You look at something like the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, at least there's some significance. Home field advantage is based on this. And, of course, the skills competition for pretty much everything, the dunk contest, is on the same thing as the home run hitting contest. Hockey, they've kind of lost their luster because they have the shootout in the regular season now. So I get to see all these superstars take penalty shots. Yeah, they really count center. Now, right? They really, really count. It's something that they're just playing around.
The only skill I truly enjoy watching in the skills contest is the hardest shot and the shooting the four targets. That's the only one. Other than that, I mean, the relay this year was awful. I didn't even know what was going on half the time.
Yeah. I don't mind the breakaway challenge because as a former goalie, I can appreciate that. And just being able to see goalies have to go and stop the Ovechkins of this world, like, for me, I find that entertaining.
But some of the times I noticed the goalies were giving them the top of the net. Marc-Andre Fleury was doing push-ups, giving Ovechkin the top of the corner of the net. I mean, are they really trying, though?
You see, that's the thing I don't like about it, because you know in the dunk competitions in the NBA, Vince Carter loves to do fancy moves. There's different guys. I mean, Dominic Wilkins, if you want to go far back as well. Michael Jordan, there were some great dunkers, and these guys always wanted to upstage each other. When Marc-Andre Fleury is doing push-ups, or Evgeny Malkin last year is wiping off Ovechkin's face, it doesn't show to me that they're taking it seriously. I do appreciate the fact that they're having fun, but at the same time, you know, I want to watch these guys try to be their best and try to upstage each other.
I want to see all-stars. I want to see all-stars at their best, and that's really what you're paying for in an all-star game, is to try to showcase the best. And when you're doing stuff like that, it kind of takes away from the actual. I'm sure it's fun when you're there and you know it's good for a laugh as you're knocking a couple pops back down in Carolina. But for the rest of us, it's going, okay, well, I want to see the best of the best. I don't want to see. And the one thing that I don't like about a lot of these is that players get to opt out of it as well. It should be one of those things where if you're going to have it, your best players should, you know, barring injury, should have to be down there. They can't just opt out.
Agreed, and I think that's a very fair way to do it. I think that in the case of a guy like Jerome McGinley wanting to spend time with his grandmother who's not doing so well, I think that's also a case where maybe a player should be allowed to get away for a little bit. But, you know, if somebody has the sniffles, like, you know what, screw you, play.
Like Gino Malkin opted out because, well, he guess he had a lower body injury and the sniffles.
Yeah, see, there you go. So you have these all-stars that should be out there. And you know what? I could do away with the NHL one. I could do away with the one in football. But Trent's was saying, like, we all kind of agree that basketball, keep that one in. Because basketball by nature is just offense anyway.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't, it'd be, you know, a 60 to 50 game instead of 110 to 108.
I respect what the AJHL did. Last year, we had an all-star game here in Fort McMurray and in the Alberta Junior Hockey League, which is a Tier 2 Junior A level of hockey, just so everybody can get a sort of an idea here. And they had the All-Star game up here in Fort McMurray last year at our arena, which is the Kasman Center. And after that debacle, it was a 14-9 game. I don't even remember who won it, to be honest with you, because that's how much I care about it. And the league said, you know what, we don't need something like this. So they scrap it, and they just do postseason All-Star teams where they name players to teams. So I agree with that.
The thing that pissed me off the most about the AJHL one is these kids aren't at a level where they can just, you know, mail it in and have a little fun with it. They should have been showing their skills off. I expected to see some hits and maybe a fight, but it looked like an NHL game.
Well, one thing the NHL was sort of musing with way back in the day was to get a tough guy from each conference, the East and the West, and let them go and drop the gloves during the game at some point. I think that would have been an enjoyable experience. Could you imagine like a Dale Hunter going against a young Ty Domi or something like that? I think that'd be beautiful.
The thing they don't want to do with that, and probably why.
And as a Leafs fan, you don't want to see Domi get beaten up. I can understand that.
That was never an issue with Ty Domi, but
he never lost.
In the NHL,
kick his ass.
In the league, the NHL, the one thing they don't want to do is they don't want to put fighting up on a pedestal, and that's probably why the tough guys don't go to have them duke it out.
Do you remember they were going to have that pay-per-view where it was gonna be nothing but hockey fights, and then got scrapped.
Yeah, and that was gonna be either Winnipeg or Winnipeg. It was gonna be hosted in Winnipeg.
What was that? It was a contest. What was it called? Remember that? It was just people going at it. It was crazy.
That would have been awesome. I don't think it eventually aired. They didn't get enough money, or they had to scrap it.
They had to scrap it because there were police issues. And
that still would have been awesome.
I remember that story because I was living in Saskatchewan then, and I read it on the air at that point where there were a couple of guys who wanted to organize something like this. They had the fight. fighters lined up. They were all hyped up for it. And then the police or the RC, the Winnipeg police or the RCMP made it very clear that there are going to be police at that area ready to make arrests if that happens. So clearly not a licensed event.
No, it's not going to get licensed. Just trying to pull up real quick. I don't see anything up here. But it would have been a good pay-per-view.
I would have been down.
Yeah. People pay for UFCs.
So. Well, there it is, and there's an issue I have. People are paying for UFCs and paying for boxing matches. What's the difference if two guys are duking it out on
the
ice?
Here's my problem. Why can't I pay for cable and then have adult content after, say, 9 o'clock? It's not as if it's over the air or through an antenna. I'm actually paying for cable. Well, I can't police myself. I can't police my own house.
That's true. I think we got off topic. Well,
I think another thing that's sort of upset about the fighting thing is that, and this was what comes back to fighting, is that when hockey players fight, there's like a gentleman's agreement. They have a code of conduct that almost all of them, I'd say pretty much all of them, do follow. Like when the fight is over, you stop pounding the guy's face in. Unless you're Todd Bertuzzi and you want to make someone bleed. But
even when I was a fighter in minor hockey, there was a code amongst us. As soon as they go down, you don't punch him in the face.
Well, to the same point of that, they actually have verbal cues almost. And if you've watched any kind of behind the scenes stuff, you'll see, okay, done. Or the ref will say, you guys done. One will say yes, and there you go. It gets broken up. That's why when you see fights broke up while they're standing, someone is said, okay, I'm done throwing. Let's do this.
And even in Saskatchewan one time, I saw one of our skilled players in Melford, who was a good player, but also willing to drop the gloves if he had to, the toughest guy in the league at the time, went up, just looked at him and nodded. And then the skilled guy for Melford just turned around and he's like, no, I don't want that. And then the tough guy just, you know what, left him alone. Then he went after somebody else, and then the guy accepted his challenge. But the fact is, he did not go after the other player. There's a code.
You go from All-Star Games, Pro Bowls, right back to hockey fights.
It's true. That's why it's dropped the gloves. Should we move on to
let's move
number
on.
Number two I got on here is workplace relationships. Are they worth it or not?
I've been in one.
And?
It didn't work so well. I mean, a lot of other stuff was brought up during, you know, other things. And you spent a lot of time emailing back and forth. So me, it didn't work.
I say it can work because you got to figure, break up your day for us. You know, you spend 8 hours sleeping, 8 hours at work, then you got 8 hours to do the rest of your stuff. So whether it's going back and forth to work, showering, doing whatever you want to do, I mean, a third of your day is spent at your workplace. What better place to try to meet people?
Good point. I've made some great friends out of work.
Yeah, but as long as the person isn't, you know, batshit crazy, then you should be okay. If it does break off, I mean, you just have to treat it like you're both adults.
Hard to find an unbatshit crazy woman.
I'm sure it's different if you're working with a bunch of teenagers at like a fast food place. And, you know, because teenagers just normally are attracted to drama. But, you know, if you're adults about it, I don't see why it can't work.
It probably can work. I was pretty young at the time.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you, Chris. I mean, if I'm stocking shelves at Canadian Tire or Walmart or something like that, chances are I'm not looking for the next Mrs. Kenny Trenton there. Because chances are she's underage and that could lead to legal issues that just aren't necessary.
Oh, you are a beauty.
Yeah, but I mean, in the workplace, I mean, as the story goes, if two people are willing to dip the pen in company ink, as the saying goes, then you know what? Why not? I mean, that shouldn't be a restriction to find the right one for you. I don't believe that the work should be a barrier for that.
That's true. I mean, like I said, you're spending, you know, 8 hours or 40 hours per week or sometimes more, you know, as opposed to going trolling in bars or trying to, either look online or go coffee shops or whatever other way you're trying to look for someone. I mean, there you go. You're spending so much time in the office already, right?
It's true.
So I guess we're all in agreement that it's okay, except for you, KFL.
No, I mean, just because I had one bad experience doesn't mean it can't work. So I'm on the fence.
What about bromances?
Oh,
bromances
absolutely.
Are perfect. There should be no way a bromance is ever affected by the workplace.
Bromances should be valid anywhere, anytime.
Bromance should be legalized.
It's the purest form of male romance that there is.
And it's not romance, it's bromance.
It's bromance, exactly.
Fair enough. Next topic I got, top five hotties. I had to do some research for this one, but I did come up with my five.
I'm always under scrutiny. Go first, I'll go last.
You'll go last?
It is your topic, so we'll let you go last.
Okay, so I'll kick things off. Number one, Hayden Panettiere. Save the cheerleader.
Oh, okay.
Remember her? I'm sure, yeah, she's saving whales or whatever. Number two, I got Jessica Alba.
Nice one.
Mila Kunis is number three. Cameron Diaz, who I mentioned in our first episode. And my last one, you've probably heard, you've seen her. You probably don't know the name, though. Rashida Jones. Look that one up.
Rashida I'm going to have Jones. To look that up. How do I spell that?
R-A-S-H-I-D-A Jones.
Okay.
Look it up. You'll see her and you'll recognize her from probably tons of movies.
All right.
Here we go. So here is mine. I went back to thinking of tennis and oh my, are there some fine hotties there. We're going to start with number 5, Anna Kournikova.
Nice one.
Yeah. She's beautiful. She's fit too. Ahead of her because she's still active in the game and she's actually a good tennis player. Anna Kournikova was not. She was just fine. Maria Sharapova, she is a hottie and a great tennis player.
I love when they grunt.
It's true.
All right. My number 3, I'm going to go with Jessica Alba because that's just one I think that'd be on any man's top 5 list. Like, wow. On my number 2, I'm going to go with a woman that not too many people know. Her name is Mia Kirshner. Yeah, look that one up. That's all I'm going to say. Mia Kirshner, and it's spelled her last name, her first name, M-I-A, Kirshner, K-I-R-S-C-H-N-E-R. She was on the TV series 24, and she was an assassin that would make an appearance once in a while, and those eyes could just stare right through me and make even me melt, yes. And my number 1 hottie, Hillary Clinton.
Oh, come on.
What?
How I love women in power. She's the Secretary of State in the United States. That's one of the most powerful positions in the United States cabinet. And I have a real thing for power and women in power. And that is Hillary Clinton, my number 1 hottie.
Isn't there some other presidents for other countries that could be hotter than her?
I didn't look.
Like, I'm sure the president of Argentina, if there is a female or
Margaret Thatcher's not on that list. As powerful as she was, yeah. No, I'll stick with Hillary Clinton.
Okay, Phil, it's your topic, so we need to hear your
phone. All right. I've taken some scrutiny, so I've done some changing. I've done some rearranging. Number 5, Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, but I respect that.
But no, I know Chris Byrne has an issue with her.
I do have an issue, because you're born in Oklahoma and you like hockey players. How does that happen? You should like basketball players.
Or
not
baseball
hockey.
Players.
Or baseball players or, I don't know, whatever else you do in Oklahoma.
Number 4, Rachel McAdams. I dig her.
Really? I think she's always been on the cusp of being like hot and just that girl.
Yeah. Mine's always under scrutiny. Why? Number 3, here it is.
You can do no good in my books.
Here's where it starts dropping. Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
No, I'm actually a fan. Oh, I support.
Okay.
I support.
Perfect. Number 2, Jennifer Aniston.
No, washed up.
She's starting to get up there. She's kind of like Scott Stevens on the downside of his career, like still effective, but
she's just not going to take anyone out in center ice, you know?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. She's not going to knock anyone down with their head down.
And she's not going to score 30 goals either.
And she's not going to score 30 goals.
No.
But she's not going to be, you know, she's going to be minus when she's on the ice.
She could definitely help me with some stuff, okay? And number 1, Mila Kunis.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Not bad. I mean, there's a couple questionables, but
it's no Hillary Clinton, but I mean,
no.
It's power, buddy.
Next topic I got on here is Blue Jays offseason and how dreadful it is, really. I don't know. It's being a Blue Jays
I'm going to let you guys go first on this one. I have a different take, but go ahead.
I can't believe the Blue Jays remind me of the Oilers, how they just, you know, grow a little bit of talent and then sell, baby.
They're just becoming a farm system for the big markets of the MLB, and it's driving me nuts. I mean, I've been a Jays fan my whole life. It's the first time I've ever just went, I can't do
you're
it.
Dealing
I can't
in,
do it anymore.
You're in a division with two teams that spend upwards of $150 million a year, and the Jays, their salary was, what, $65, $70? You're spending half of what you should be spending.
85 last year.
You know, you got to contend, man. Get up to the $150. You have all of Canada behind you. You're the only Canadian baseball team. It's not like Blue Jays hats aren't sold from Vancouver to St. John's.
Yeah, and I was an Expos fan, and I jumped on the Jays bandwagon when we moved to D.C. But in saying that, though, I have a different perspective on the offseason. You guys are talking about having to spend money to compete with the Yankees and the Red Sox, and you know what? That's partially a valid point, but here's where it gets a bit iffy. They tried that a few years ago, bringing in A.J. Burnett, B.J. Ryan, Troy Gloss, Lyle Overbay, and that didn't exactly get them over the hump like they needed to get. Did it have them in contention at one point? Yeah, one season they finished second when the Red Sox spiraled at the end, but you saw that that approach by J.P. Ricciardi did not work. You have to build from within if you want to put together a solid base. And that's what I respect with what Alex Anthopoulos, the new GM of the Jays, is doing right now. Kudos to him for being able to unload 4 years of $86 million of Vernon Wells' oversized contract. That creates financial flexibility in the future and allows them to do some other things. Also, as well, in the case of Sean Markham, a little bit tough to deal with, but you're talking about getting a top five prospect in all of baseball. And when they do contend, Paul Beeston, the president of the Jays, has assured them, saying, we can sign these guys and we can keep them. They've handed out long-term deals to Ricky Romero, Aaron Hill, Adam Lind, and a couple of others to the guys they want to keep. And they got rid of the excess fat. And you got to keep in mind that as recently as two seasons ago, you're talking about the Jays being a farm system for the rest of baseball. Their farm system was around the bottom. Now they're ranked fourth. So you got to start somewhere, and it's got to start from within.
Yeah, but doesn't it always seem like the Jays have always been, you have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. It's
I'm glad that a GM now is here that finally has a plan in starting over. Ricciardi did not have that.
Yeah, well, see, I'll give you that much. But, I mean, anytime you're saying, oh, we're cutting the fat. Well, eventually, you need to have a steak with a little bit of fat. Right?
Yes.
You're going to have yourself, you know, a prime rib. There's fat on that. So you need to keep some of it. Just because you're getting rid of Vernon Wells doesn't mean that it's going to solve all your problems. Like, we have a great hitter, but we don't have just someone that's a slugger, for example.
Batista hit 54 home runs last year. Now, is he going to repeat that again? I don't think so. But if he can be like a 35 home run guy, absolutely.
But Vernon Wells was a good all-around hitter. I mean, he can get you on the bag. He wasn't just a home run hitter.
Inconsistent and always hurting. To be honest, that big contract, he was not living up to it. So kudos to be able to unload it. Kudos to him for being able to find a team to unload it.
Yeah, you know what? I still have that feeling that the Jays are afraid to take that step to be a contender in that division.
They tried, and the plan that they tried, again, with B.J. Ryan and all those guys a few years ago, it didn't work. It didn't work. So, and Anthopoulos was an assistant and a scout during that time, and he saw that approach by J.P. Ricciardi, and he said, you know what, I realized something. Going out there and spending a ton of money doesn't work. Look for the Yankees. I mean, they have only one World Series since 2000, since they tried to buy. The New York Mets have tried to buy a World Series, haven't even made the playoffs. So, really, like,
see, I'll give you
if
that
you're
going
to spend the money, you got to spend it right.
We'll give it to the Mets, but I mean, the Yankees are spending money. You're not winning World Series crowns, but you're still making it to the playoffs. That's where owners make their monies, in the playoffs.
Let's look at the Atlanta Braves. That's a team that is consistently built from within, and they made the playoffs for 15 straight years. Chipper Jones and all the best players from that franchise were born and bred in the Braves farm system. But the difference was, is Atlanta was able to identify those key players and throw the money necessary to keep them. That's what the Jays are trying to do. And I guess the real proof in the pudding is going to be, if these guys do pan out, all these prospects they're picking up, will Rogers Communications step up and sign them? That's the question.
I'm going to tell you this. You know who's going to fix the Blue Jays? They need to bring back Paul Gray back. He will fix all of the issues.
Yes, he will. Or Pat Gillis.
Just ridiculous. So, looking ahead to this season then, we're talking about the Blue Jays offseason. How are they going to do during the season? What do you guys think? Are we a 500 team? Are we not even on the map yet this
500,
year?
500. 500.
Are they no different than any other year?
So, 500, and at the same time, they're going to be the exact same team maybe as last year. Their bullpen will be better. But in saying that, is comparing them to last year's team, they're going to do it, but they're going to be able to get to that same record with $10 to $15 million less in payroll.
Who's their ace this year?
You know, it's going to be Ricky Romero.
Okay.
It's going to be Ricky Romero, and he's starting to evolve into that kind of player. A very similar pitcher you can compare him to is John Lester of the Red Sox, and I'd actually say that last season Romero was slightly better, more consistent anyways.
So we're going to be talking the same things last year, off to a good start, under 500 by the All-Star, and then, you know, just right off August, September, because we're not even in any hunt.
Yeah.
No, the bottom line is that
I don't know if my heart can take that, man.
They have a plan, and I'm curious to see how it's going to pan out. And I have good expectations.
I'm a Leafs fan. I'm used to this sort of thing.
You're used to this sort of thing out of Toronto, eh?
Yeah.
They build you up and then just not finish anything.
Just step on your face with cleats.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if I can handle another season like that. Another season of not even contending on, you know, as soon as September 1st rolls around, it's Labor Day and there's nothing to play for anymore.
It's true.
It is frustrating, but I'm you know, still that's excited how you see for the future.
That's how you see the Sky Dome with 5,000 people in it. Why would you go to a game when there's nothing on the line?
Well, that's why I went to New York last season to see the Red Sox and Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. Next topic on here, will there be another Wayne Gretzky? This is a pretty good one. This is from you, KFL.
Yeah, yeah. This all came about because his birthday was last week.
Yeah, happy 50th to the great one. Will there be another Wayne Gretzky? Absolutely not. I don't think you can now. The whole league has kind of got to parity. Now you have a salary cap where, you know, teams aren't going to be as dominant as for a consistent amount of time.
Yeah.
And I don't think you'll ever see someone score 50 and 39.
The game's changed too much, too. I mean, like, especially like in the late 90s when it became a trap heaven, the NHL, and that's what everybody started doing following Jacques Lemaire. But even though the game's opened up more, I just don't think that anyone's ever going to put up 200 points in a season again. And that's the end of that, so I don't think so.
I as well don't think so, just simply for the fact that he owns 60 NHL records. But you know what? A few of those records possibly will get broken by somebody. But will another player own that many records and break all of them? I highly doubt it.
Yeah. I don't think anyone will put up 200 points again.
No, I don't think 50 and 39 will ever happen again.
You'd have to see a player go on like an unbelievable stretch run. Like we've seen Sidney Crosby already this season put up, what was he, about 29, 30 games, something like that, point streak. You're going to have to see something that beats that. And it's going to have to be like, it's going to have to be on a team that's scoring, you know, 5 goals a night, 6 goals a night, which probably won't happen.
To make a baseball reference, it's like Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. I just think it's one of those things that nobody will ever touch.
So all in agreement, that's a pretty short topic.
Yeah. Wow.
Next one out of the hat, I have, hey, so this one was mine. You get $3,000, whether you win the lottery or you do something, okay? You buy one thing. What is that one thing?
Oh.
Yeah, is that tough?
A really fun night in a back room of a strip bar.
Yeah, you all in one night?
No, I don't know.
No, you wouldn't do that.
If I had to buy one thing, probably the biggest friggin' TV I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah? Yeah, you could afford that. You could probably get like a 60-inch 3D TV.
I'd probably get that because I think giant TVs are the greatest invention of all time. It's right up there with Lululemon pants and the push-up bra.
Don't even get me started on Lululemon
pants. I know. My wife
is already online shopping to get me Lululemon pants. I've been putting it off.
Buying you Lululemon
pants.
Dude,
you're not going to hear the end of this.
Yes, I know.
All right, well, let's move
on. So, a big screen TV you got.
I'm going to go the Russian mail order bride.
Here's the thing about those mail order brides, though. Once they get here and they get a taste of freedom, you got to buy another one.
But Russia's free. It's not communist Soviet Union anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, would you rather be waiting for your beet rations out of the back of a truck or be in Canada?
Yeah, but I'm going to say, like, I mean, if I bring a Russian mail order bride to Fort McMurray, where the heck's she going to run to?
He makes a great point.
Greg Moore. And Zach.
Well, there's buses and planes that leave here is all I'm saying. And there's enough money flowing up here that I'm sure that...
She better get to Suncor or Syncrude and start working pretty quickly because I'm going to say you don't just get on that plane
for
free. Well,
it's not like you're buying a slave, Trent. You're buying a wife.
You're buying a wife, Ken.
True. I got, that's a good point.
So, you know, you get her over here and then all of a sudden...
She frigs off.
She's gone down to Calgary or gone to Toronto. Who knows? See, that's all I'm saying. And then you got
to... But still imagine the fun weekend that would be.
It would be a good time building up to the wedding part because it's usually hot as balls.
That's true.
It would be, and I could be married and somebody will be like, hey, Trent, where's your wife? I don't know.
Yeah, so that's an opinion on everything. If I had $3,000 right now, I was kicking this idea around. I'm like, well, I really want a mountain bike because I have a road bike and it's not really good because there's no trails up here. Or a gun. And those are what I was stuck up on. So whether like a good handgun to just, you know, dink around with and personal protection or
hunting,
a mountain bike.
Hunting.
Personal protection.
Well, you can't go hunting with a handgun up here in Canada. In the States you can, but not in Canada. So
heck, in Wyoming you can carry them on the street.
Yeah, I know. Conceal and carry. Here's the thing. If I was down in the States, I'd have a gun owner.
If I could carry a concealed weapon, I would.
Even if, like you said, in Wyoming, there are states where you don't have to hide it.
No, exactly.
I'd carry.
Virginia, for instance, when I was there, I mean, they can't conceal the gun, but if they have it in their car, they have to have it on the seat or where you can see it.
Yeah, easily accessible.
How perfect is that? Just driving around, there's a 45 on your dashboard.
I could see myself just carrying one. Why not? If it's by the law, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely.
Running out of time, your boys are going to be looking at okay, what we should do. Is same things we did last time. Oh, here we go. Yes or no, or A or B answer as quick as you can. And then we'll get to the, we got to touch on the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah.
So we got two last topics. Same things last time, just a quick fire. First question, tits or ass? Second question, prediction on the Super Bowl.
All right, I guess I'll go with tits. I love big tits. I'm not going to lie. Like, nothing for me beats seeing a woman with breasts the size of my head. It's something I appreciate. It's something I appreciate. It's like Michelangelo sculpted art. Like, I mean, good breasts are like sculptures. I love them. And as far as the Super Bowl goes, I'm going to say Pittsburgh's going to take this one. Defense wins the championships. And while I do like Green Bay's improbable run, part of me thinks that Pittsburgh's defense is going to pull it off. I have a feeling Troy Polamalu is really going to break out and have an unreal game. And on top of that, as a Jets fan, I have no problem saying we lost to the champs.
So real or fake? If you like them like Michelangelo's sculpted, real or fake, or
you want to know what? It really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but preferably real. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that likes natural.
Info.
All right, I'm gonna go with ass simply because I always live by the rule: if it's bigger than a handful, it's a waste. And I just like plump, round, tuckishes. What can I say? And Super Bowl Steelers for no other reason than they have a rider.
Okay, well, I'm going to be going with Trent on this one. Definitely a breast man. No two ways about it. Like him real, can't stand him fake. And Super Bowl pick, got to go with Green Bay. I don't want to see the Steelers win number 7.
Okay.
No, can't see lucky number 7. Well, thanks very much, boys. Here
Thank
we go
you.
Again.
Number
Always
2.
Good times.
We'll see you guys again next week. We'll have a Super Bowl winner by this time. And we may have something clinched up for in AJHL action as well. The Mob might have a couple things all cleared up by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, could be talking about the Mob second place finish next week. We'll have to see.